listeners, and welcome to the David Crit podcast. My name is Britt, and today I am sitting with a new artist that's coming to the workshop. We're very excited to be working with him. His name is Peter Cohen, and he's actually new to the realm of fine art printmaking. So we're very excited to hear what his experience has been like in the workshop and newfound career in the arts. So welcome, Peter. It's lovely to meet you.
Thank you, Britt. So I was introduced to David by a kind of like a mutual friend, and she came to see what I had been doing and said, you know, I've got to bring David here to see your stuff, which she did. And they came the following day or a few days later. And David then said to me, I think you need to come into the studio and see what you can do here. So, yeah, I mean, it was a very different experience coming doing monotypes here, because it's not something I had ever explored before. There's a lack of control for me having, you know, coming and trying that for the first time. And also... I suppose there's a bit of magic, because you can't see, it kind of like appears. Kind of like when you take a photograph and then develop it. You're never quite sure from the negative what the picture's going to turn out like exactly. It kind of feels the same with the monitor. It's like creating the negative and then suddenly there's this positive. And there's a little bit of adjustment that you can make. Well, I suppose I need to learn how to make more adjustments. But there was the magic of the image appearing, but there was also the lack of control in the beginning, and learning that process, which was really exciting.
If I can jump in and just say, you're coming from a background where you've done architecture. Yeah, so I don't know if you want to maybe just give our listeners a bit of a background as to what it is that you do, how you came into this realm, and why it is that you're exploring print now.
Yeah, so I practice as an architect, and I think before being in the realm of printmaking, for some reason or other, I don't know that I can even explain it, there was a need to paint. It just kind of happened. It might have been because of COVID and because of lockdown and because of practicing as an architect. But I suppose in the sense of my daily practice and my daily work, there's a sense of confinement. There's working with plans and dimensions and clients and builders and suppliers and all kinds of... There's a lot of design and there's a lot of fun. You know, there's a lot of exploring other types of design. But it's still within having to work with construction processes and things that have to be built and have to work and those kind of things. Whereas with painting, I allowed myself absolute freedom. It was the freedom from COVID, it was the freedom from working, and it probably led from that. And I suppose the work that I started off with was much freer and less inhibited than it has become. But I think it's also become more interesting, and more interesting for me, right, thinking about the different processes and the different ways of working and the different mediums that are available. So I'm finding it very exciting at the moment, being able to work with all different types of stuff.
That's great. Was your picking up the paintbrush, was that where the desire to delve into fine art started again? Was that the medium of choice from the beginning?
No, so it just happened one night where I said, I actually just need to do this for whatever reason. It was just a spontaneous thing. And I scratched around the house. It was late at night. I scratched around the house for whatever was left over and lying around for years and years, and used what there was to make a painting. And then it was like, this is just the best thing. It was just such an escape.
That liberation, yeah.
Unbelievable liberation. And then I did another one and another one, and it became compulsive. Then it reached a point where it was just that. And then I needed more. I needed some meaning as opposed to just having the freedom. And as soon as there was any meaning involved, the whole nature of what I was doing kind of changed.
Really?
Yeah.
I think when
I first started out, it was very abstract. It was literally just a brush stroke here, a mark there. It was absolute freedom. There was no reference to any previous kind of artwork or anything. And I've always been interested in art, and I've always been to galleries and museums and all that kind of stuff and looked at it and examined it. At university, we did 3 years of art history. So it's been part of the way that I think. It's always part of, and it's part of the houses that I design. Artwork is always an important aspect of people living in those spaces. You know, it is an important part of how I see things. But I've never really thought to myself, other than as a child, I suppose, I've never really thought to myself as an adult, I must actually do this. It was completely spontaneous. So initially it was just the freedom from the confines of what was going on at the time. But when I realized that it needed to have more meaning, I then started to look at all my old art books and things on the internet and looking for references that interested me, or, you know, whatever, different types of marks, that kind of thing. And so the way that I was making pictures changed.
From what I'm understanding from what you're speaking about is the experience has been very intuitive to get back into the arts. And then you're finding meaning through the process more so than you are through what it is that you're creating. Is that correct?
I think it's both. When I'm looking at references, I'm finding that what's being produced now is difficult as a reference for me. It's not something that I'm going to look at what artists are producing now and think that's an influence or something like that. That's not where I'm coming from.
Right.
Because that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at antiquity and classical paintings or sculpture. And I'm drawing from that. But it is what it is.
Mm.
And how can I adapt that to how I think about space or size or scale, or because those are things that I that are intuitive to me.
Of course.
The abstract is not intuitive for me. It just kind of happened.
Mm.
But naturally I am going to think of grid, scale, size. That's how my brain works.
Right.
And so I'm using that as meaning for what I'm producing.
So knowing that that's kind of naturally how your mind is working, I imagine the printmaking process has actually been something that, like, quite enjoyable, because it's almost like those two, well, that way of thinking and the kind of technical aspects of printmaking correlate.
In a sense, but with the monotype, there's less control for me. And I don't think I've fully explored the monotype. I mean, you know, there's just two or three or four or whatever that I've done. And there are different processes within the monotype that that I explored. And probably there's a lot more that I can learn from it. But it wasn't easy. It was, and it's not about creating the image. It's about learning the process.
Mm. And I think the challenge is also part of, like, what makes it enjoyable.
Well, I have absolutely loved being here. I can't tell you, if I could spend every day here, I would. And it's such an amazing environment to be in.
It is a very unique workshop. I mean, we've got printmakers. You've been working quite closely with Sarah Judge. So how has that kind of collaborative process worked with for you? Were you working with a print technician kind of side by side that's guiding you through the process?
So in a sense, I'm kind of used to that because that's how I work in my daily practice. So when I work with people that make stuff for me as an architect, I still work collaboratively with them. So I work collaboratively with the builders. Well, there'll be something that we kind of trying to achieve, but there's no absolute way of doing it. So there's always a method that can be improved or input from other people. You land up with a better result that way, with input from other people. But I also work in my painting. I work in a very solitary way when I'm not here, because I'm working in the day. I'm painting at night. And so it's completely solitary. There's no input from other people, other than when I'm either busy with something or finished something, and then I'll say, well, what did you think? How can I improve? What could I do here? What could I do there? But that's when I'm working out of this particular studio. And I don't have a studio at home. I'm painting wherever I can find a space.
Right. So there's certain limitations that you're adapting to as well.
There are, I suppose, because a lot of the work's very big. So there's nowhere for me to work. So in the beginning, I was just working on the garage floor, and I was working on paper. And so there was nowhere that I could really put it up, stand back. But it was very abstract in the beginning. But even afterwards, I was still working on the garage floor a lot. I did not enjoy working on canvas at all. Essentially, I've worked initially only on paper. And then when I started in oils, I started working on board.
Okay.
And I find the board is good for me because it's hard. It's a hard surface, and it's drier than canvas. And so I suppose in a sense I paint like I would draw.
Okay.
So it's not fluid. I'm not painting in a very fluid way. I'm painting in as if I was drawing.
So then doing the monotypes, how did you find the process of painting onto the Perspex? Is it similar to what you had been experiencing?
No, it's completely different. It was very different.
Okay, I would have thought there would be some
similarity. Oil paint, so when I'm painting with oil paint, I'm thinning it out a lot with terps.
Okay.
I find it dries quicker and it gives me a lot of freedom to change things or whatever, or paint on top. Whereas when I was... So I did two processes here. And only when I was painting with a brush on top of the Perspex, I found that very difficult because the paint is very sticky. The ink is very sticky. And when I thinned it out too much, it tended to dry too quickly. So I had to learn very quickly because I didn't have a lot of time. I think I had an hour to do something. And it's quite nice to have to work quickly, but that's not really how I've been working on my oil painting. I mean, I have been working quickly, but not in the same sort of way. And also there was no planning. So I think about things and I plan them and I work them out and then I paint them. With the monotypes, there was no planning.
Yes, but there is a sense of not entirely knowing what the image is going to turn out to be, or lack of control, rather.
Lack of, and there was, I don't want to say anxiety, because it's not really anxiety, but it was like spending the whole day doing something, and I don't have no idea what it's going to look like when it's on a piece of paper.
Yeah, which is, I suppose that's also part of the excitement of the print and everything.
Yeah.
So it's great that you've enjoyed that experience. Yeah. You mentioned the abstract content of your art making as well. And then the imagery with the liner cuts, it seems to be a little bit more figurative. I don't know if you want to...
Well, it was, but I mean, it was a vase of flowers.
Okay.
But the two of the monotypes were also...
Yes.
Vases of flowers. So that was this kind of the same. It's a repeated image.
Okay, and the fact of using like repetition, using the same reference in different mediums, is that what's the reason for that?
So, if I had to think of a totally different imagery, it becomes a different thing. I can't compare it to something that I've done before. So, for me, it makes sense to take the same image and see what happens to the image if I'm doing it in oils, or if I'm doing it with acrylic and chalk, or if I'm doing it as a monotype, or if I'm doing it as a lino cut. And each of those different processes creates a different image, but it's the same reference. And then I can think to myself how the cross-referencing of all the different mediums works best for that. You know, but because it's the same image, base image, I've got a basis for learning about what I'm doing, in a sense. I don't know if it explains it.
It does. You're kind of wanting to see what the different results are using that same image. Have you had any like aha moments or like kind of surprises that have been like kind of revelationary in your way of working?
So it's definitely, in fact, not with the monitor. The concept of the lino cut I found very interesting because it's not dissimilar from the way I've been painting in oils in terms of the marks. And I'm now thinking about how I was painting in oils, about making the lino cut, and how that is going to influence the way that I'm going to carry on painting. And I'm exploring that in my painting at home, because it is definitely an influence and another way, another process that I'm teaching myself or creating. And without any... that's also what's nice, I suppose, about what I'm doing, is there's no formal training. I'm just kind of... From the day I took up a paintbrush, I'm making it up as I go along, which is nice because I'm not restricted by what I've learned.
Exactly.
When I used to... I didn't really paint as a child. I used to draw a lot, mostly with pencil. And as I got older, and when I started in architecture, when I was a student, I used to draw a lot with technical pens. So they're very similar lines, I suppose, but I was always drawing. And when I started painting, it was difficult for me not to draw. is drawing is my natural inclination. And so what I was doing was I was painting, but drawing on top of the painting. When I moved on to oils, I lost that. So the way I was painting in oils became, I was trying to find a way that worked for me. Yeah, as I say, drawing was always natural for me.
Yeah. You draw, you're now painting, and there's kind of this overlap in how you're doing it. And I think that's also what's exciting about your process now with printmaking, is that you're learning these processes. So it's quite explorative in terms of your mark making, in terms of how you're engaging with the medium. And I think that's very exciting, because I imagine it's going to unlock a lot of potential.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think with the monotype, I was so tempted after the first, after running the print for the first time, I was so tempted literally just to draw on top of it.
Okay.
Because the marks that I made, I wasn't used to. So I was drawing into the ink, or scratching out of the ink, but the lines are very different.
Yeah.
And the slipperiness of the perspex and the tools that I was using are different to a pencil or a paintbrush. So right. It was difficult to know how that was going to turn out. And when the image came out, I thought, okay, so if I do this with a pencil or a whatever, I can get it to work the way that I wanted it to. And so there is some handwork on those things, but we then made a second impression, which helped. But again, it was about learning.
Yeah.
And I think they were successful, but they were more successful after I did the handwork on top of it. There's one of them that's a little bit more abstract, and the intention always was that I was going to draw on top of it. And for me, that's the most successful one. Listen, what's amazing about this is that there's a whole team of people here, and I think also everybody's that's working here has different strengths, and so you get different types of input from everybody that's here. I just have really enjoyed that collaboration. It's been amazing, because it's not just a solitary thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been working in the arts now for the past 2 years?
Towards the end of October will be 2 years.
Yeah. So it's
not long.
It's pretty impressive, though, to know how driven you are and motivated you are into, you know, exploring this realm. Architecture and fine arts, how would you say, do you have any kind of comments of how they speak to each other or relate to each other?
I think it's difficult, but, I think if I think about architecture, there's a spatial thing, because we manipulate space all the time. If I think about sculpture, it's not creating the outside, it's creating the object. So it's not creating the envelope, if I put it that way.
Yeah.
It's creating the object. So if I think about spaces that I'm making, then there often are sculptural elements that need to be part of that. Sometimes it's furniture, sometimes it's a light fitting, but there's always something that needs to create an interplay between space and other parts of the envelope that I'm working on. If you talk about fine art as in a flat image, it's almost like dressing a space. I don't know that creating one and the other is done in the same way. I don't think it is. That's the reason why I'm doing it, is because they are different.
Yeah. So then the biggest kind of juxtaposition, I guess, between the two practices.
I'm making my own choices. It's about what I'm doing and what I want to do. And also there's a freedom of intellectual thought process. I'm not bound by other stuff. And also, I don't really approach my architecture in an intellectual way.
Okay.
I'm just creating space that is comfortable for people, that people feel comfortable being in, and that I can make the most beautiful space that I possibly can for them. So then I'm thinking about different things, but similar things, because I'm thinking about light, and I'm thinking about texture, and not so much color. Because even all my artwork has been monochromatic. Almost everything that I've done has been monochromatic. But there is light and texture that comes into both.
Right. Where would you position your interest in kind of history of art?
I suppose, it's difficult. There's so much out there that is being produced at the moment. All I can do is look at it visually and analyze it for myself. But what's interesting is that when I started making my own stuff, I suddenly started looking at things completely differently and understanding the complexity of what other people are producing, and realizing that those images that I'm looking at are layered with all kinds of thought processes, but they weren't things that were relevant for me.
Yeah.
They're beautiful to look at, yeah, or not, or they're interesting or they're not, whatever it is, but they weren't relevant for me. So when I'm looking at reference material and drawing from those, I'm looking at classical landscapes or sculpture or that kind of thing, and then adapting that, applying a grid, changing, yeah, the line, taking snapshots of bits of things that I find interesting in a piece.
Okay. What are those moments, in a way, that you do find interesting or relevant?
I suppose I love posters and those kind of things. Things with images and writing and all that kind of stuff. But it has its own meaning.
But looking at some of the images that you've created in the workshop, it looks like there are moments of deconstruction that happens, and reconstruction and
definitely
overlapping.
Yeah. So that's what, yeah.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of that. And so what I've done is I've taken images or pieces of images, and then I have deconstructed them and definitely reconstructed them in a different way so that they have a different visual impact.
Yes.
To the point where I have deconstructed them so much,
yeah,
that the original image is almost imperceptible. It doesn't matter to me because it's about what you see. And if you look carefully enough, you'll see the original image, but it's very veiled,
yes,
in a lot,
yes,
of instances. I love what I do on a daily basis,
yeah,
even though I needed to find another and explore another avenue of creating stuff. I still love what I do every day,
yeah,
but I do have this compulsion to do both.
Yeah.
And so it's just something that I have to do. Every night I have to do it. It's not just about picking up a paintbrush and painting. It's about, if I do this, then what happens? If I do that, then you know, what will I see? What will it be? It's about the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's about, and so I'm constantly learning every single day, which is what I'm finding so appealing, not only about being here, but about,
yeah,
painting at home.
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like then David extended the invitation to the right person to come to the workshop, because I think you're going to continue exploring all of these different methods and options, and I mean, it's almost like the possibilities are endless here. Because
they are endless. I was talking to Sarah earlier about, you know, what we've looked at monotype, and I've tried that, and we're going to do the lino cut, but there's so many different
yeah,
processes,
yeah,
that I can still explore, and that I'm getting from looking at other artwork and seeing what other artists are doing and wondering now, how do they do that? Because I can see it's a process that is printed, but I don't know, it's not something I've done yet.
Yeah.
So there's a lot for me to learn still.
Yeah, and it's exciting. I mean, we're very, I think all of us are very excited about having you around, and we're looking very forward to seeing the rest of the work that you're producing in the workshop. So, yeah, thank you for chatting to me.
Thank you. Well, I'm really loving it.